blinked at the map of Prithian. It's called the Suriel. It's one of many who bear that name, but it looks like this, I said, and reached for her hand to show her. I hesitated. May I show it to you? My sister's brown eyes were glazed. Plant the image in your mind, I clarified, so you know where to look.
I don't know how to look,
Elaine mumbled.
You can try.
I should have asked Amryn to train her, too. But Elaine studied me, the map, then nodded. She had no mental shields, no barriers. The gates to her mind, solid iron covered in vines of flowers. Or it would have been. The blossoms were all sealed, sleeping buds tucked into tangles of leaves and thorns. I took a step beyond them, just into the antechamber of her mind, and planted the image of the Suriel there, trying to infuse it with safety. The truth that it looked terrifying, but had not harmed me. Still, Elaine shuddered when I pulled out.
Why?
It has answers I need immediately. Or else we might not have much of an army left to fight that entire Highburn host once I located it. Elaine again glanced at the map, at me, then closed her eyes. Her eyes shifted beneath her lids, the skin so delicate and colorless that the blue veins beneath were like small streams.
It moves, she whispered. It moves through the world like the breath of the western wind.
Where is it headed? Her finger lifted, hovering over the map, the quartz. Slowly, she set it down.
There, she breathed. It's going there, now.
I looked at where she laid her finger and felt the blood rush from my face. The middle. The Suriel was headed to that ancient forest in the middle, just south, miles perhaps, from the Weaver of the Wood. I winnowed in 5 leaps. I was breathless. My power nearly drained thanks to the glamoring I'd done yesterday, the summoned flame I'd used to dry myself off, and the winnowing that had taken me from the battle and right into the heart of that ancient wood. The heavy, ripe air was as awful as I remembered. The forest thick with moss that choked the gnarled beeches and the gray stones scattered throughout. Then there was the silence. I wondered if I should have indeed brought more with me as I listened, as I felt with my lingering magic for any sign of it. The moss cushioned my steps as I eased into a walk, scanning, listening. How far away. How small that battle to the south felt. My swallow was loud in my ears. Things other than the Weaver prowled these woods. And the Weaver herself. Striga, the bone carver had called her. His sister. Both siblings to an awful male creature lurking in another part of the world. I drew my Illyrian blade, the metal singing in the thick air. But an ancient, rasping voice asked behind me,
"Have you come to kill me? Or to beg for my help once again, Farah Archeron?"
Chapter 58. I turned, but did not sheathe my blade across my back. The Suriel was standing a few feet away, clad not in the cloak I had given it months ago, but a different one. Heavier and darker, the fabric already torn and shredded, as if the wind it traveled on had ripped through it with invisible talons. Only a few months since I had last seen it, when it had told me that Rhys was my mate. It might as well have been a lifetime ago. Its over-large teeth clacked faintly.
"Thrice now we have met. Thrice now you have hunted for me. This time you sent the trembling fawn to find me. I did not expect see those doe eyes peering at me from across the world.
I'm sorry if it was a violation, I said, as steadily as I could. But it's an urgent matter.
You wish to know where Highburn is hiding its army?
Yes. And other things, but let's start with that. A hideous, horrific smile.
Even I cannot see it.
My stomach tightened. You can see everything but that? The Suriel angled its head in a way that reminded me it was indeed a predator. And there was no snare this time to hold it back.
He uses magic to cloak it. Magic far older than I.
The cauldron. Another awful smile.
Yes. That mighty, wicked thing. That bowl of death and life.
It shivered with what I could have sworn was delight.
You have one already who can find Highburn.
Elaine says she cannot see it. See past its magic.
Then use the other to track it.
Nesta. Use Nesta to track the cauldron?
Like calls to like. The King of Highburn does not travel without the cauldron. So where it is, he and his army shall be. Tell the beautiful thief to find it.
The hair on my arms rose. How? It angled its head as if listening.
If she is unskilled, Bones will do the talking for her.
Scrying? You mean scrying with Bones?
Yes.
Those tattered robes flitted in a phantom wind.
Bones and stones.
I swallowed again. Why did the cauldron not react when I joined the book and spoke the spell to nullify its power?
Because you did not hold on for long enough.
It was killing me.
Did you think you could leash its power without a cost?
My heart stuttered. I need to die? For it to be stopped?
So dramatic, human heart. But yes, yes, that spell would have drained the life from you.
Is there another spell to use instead? To nullify its powers?
If there were such a thing, you would still have to get close enough to the cauldron to do it. Highburn will not make that mistake twice.
I swallowed. Even if we nullify the cauldron, will it be enough to stop Highburn?
It depends on your allies. If they survive long enough to battle afterward.
Would the bone carver make a difference?
And Bryaxis?
The Suriel had no eyelids, but its milky eyes flared with surprise.
I cannot see. Not him. He is not born of this earth. His thread has not been woven in.
Its twisted mouth tightened.
You wish to save Prithian so much that you would risk unleashing him.
Yes. The moment I located that army, I'd unleash Bryaxis upon it. But as for the carver, he wanted a gift in exchange. The Ouroboros. The Suriel let out a sound that might have been a gasp. Delight or horror, I did not know.
The mirror of beginnings and endings.
Yes, but I cannot retrieve it.
You are afraid to look, to see what is within.
Will it drive me mad? Break me? It was an effort not to flinch at that monstrous face, at the milky eyes and lipless mouth, all focused upon me.
Only you can decide what breaks you, Cursebreaker. Only you.
Not an answer. Not really. Certainly not enough to risk retrieving the mirror. The Suriel again listened to that phantom wind.
Tell the silver-eyed messenger that the answer lies on the second and penultimate pages of the book. Together, they hold the key.
The key? To what? The Suriel clicked its bony fingers together, like the many jointed limbs of a crustacean, tip-tapping against each other.
The answer to what you need to stop high...
It took me a heartbeat to register what happened. To identify the wooden thing that burst through the Suriel's throat as an ash arrow. To realize that what sprayed in my face, landing on my tongue and tasting like soil, was black blood. To realize that the thudding before the Suriel could even scream. More arrows. The Suriel stumbled to its knees, a choking sound coming out of that mouth. It had been afraid of the Naga that day in the woods, had known it could be killed. I surged toward it, palming a knife with my left hand, sword angling up. Another arrow fired, and I ducked behind a gnarled tree. The Suriel let out a scream at the impact. Birds scattered into flight, and my ears rang. And then, its labored, wet breathing filled the wood, until a lilting female voice crooned, "Why does it talk to you, Feyre, when it would not even deign to speak with me?" I knew that voice, that laughter beneath the words. Ianthe. Ianthe was here, with two Highburn soldiers behind her. Chapter 59. Concealed behind the tree, I took in my surroundings. I was exhausted, but I could winnow. I could winnow and be gone. The ash arrows they'd put into the Suriel, however. I met its eyes as it lay there, bleeding out on the moss. The same ash arrows that had brought down Rhys. But my mates had been carefully placed to disable him. These had been aimed to kill. That mouth of two big teeth formed a silent word. Run.
It took the King of Highburn days to unravel what you did to me,
Ianthe purred, her voice drawing closer.
I still can't use most of my hand.
I didn't reply. Winnow. I should winnow. Black blood dribbled out of the Suriel's neck, that arrow tip vulgar as it jutted up from its thick skin. I couldn't heal it. Not with those ash arrows still in its flesh. Not until they were out.
I'd heard from Tamlin how you captured this one,
Ianthe went on, coming closer and closer.
So I adapted your methods, and it would not tell me anything. But since you have made contact so many times, the robe I gave it...
I could hear the smile in her voice.
A simple tracking spell. A gift from the king. To be triggered in your presence, if you should come calling again.
Run, the Suriel mouthed once more, blood dribbling past its withered lips. That was pain in its eyes. Real pain. As mortal as any creature. And if Ianthe took it alive to Highburn, the Suriel knew it was a possibility. It had begged me for freedom once. Yet it was willing to be taken. For me to run.
its milky eyes narrowed, in pain and understanding. Yes, it seemed to say, go.
The king built shields in my mind,
Ianthe prattled on,
to keep you from harming me again when I found you.
I peered around the tree to spy her standing at the edge of the clearing, frowning at the surreal. She wore her pale robes, that blue stone crowning her hood. Only two guards with her. Even after all this time, she still underestimated me. I ducked back around before she could spot me, met the surreal stare one more time, and I let it read every one of the emotions that solidified in me with absolute clarity. The surreal began to shake its head, or tried to, but I gave it a smile of farewell and stepped into the clearing. I should have slit your throat that night in the tent, I said to the priestess. One of the guards shot an arrow at me. I blocked it with a wall of hard air that instantly buckled. Drained. Mostly drained. And if it took another hit from an ash arrow... Ianthe's face tightened.
You'll find you'll want to reconsider how you speak to me. I'll be your best advocate in Highburn.
I suppose you'll have to catch me first, I said coolly, and ran. I could have sworn that ancient forest moved to make room for me. Could have sworn it, too, read my final thoughts to the surreal and cleared the way. But not for them. I hurled every scrap of strength into my legs, into keeping upright as I sprinted through the trees, leaping over rocks and streams, dodging moss-coated boulders. Yet those guards, yet Ianthe, managed to keep close behind, even as they swore at the snapping trunks that seemed to shift into their way, the rocks that went loose beneath their feet. I only had to outrun them for so long. Only for a few miles. Draw them away from the surreal. Buy it time to flee. And make sure they paid for what they had done. All of it. I opened my senses, letting them lead the way. The forest did the rest. Perhaps she was waiting for me. Perhaps she had ordered the woods to open a path. The Highburn guards gained on me. My feet flew beneath me, swift as a deer. I began to recognize the trees, the rocks. There. I had stood with Rhys, there. I had flirted with him, there. He had lounged atop a branch while waiting for me. The air behind me parted. An arrow. I veered left, nearly slamming into a tree. The arrow went wide. The light shifted ahead, brighter. The clearing. I let out a whimper of relief that I made sure they heard. I broke from the tree line in a leap, knees popping as I flew over the stones leading to that hair-thatched cottage. Help me, I breathed, making sure they heard that too. The wooden door was already half open. The world slowed and cleared with each step, each heartbeat, as I hurtled over the threshold and into the weaver's cottage. Chapter 60. I gripped the door handle as I passed the threshold, digging in my heels and throwing every scrap of strength into my arms to keep that door from shutting, from locking me in. Invisible hands shoved against it, but I gritted my teeth and braced a foot against the wall, iron biting into my hands. The room behind me was dark.
Thief,
intoned a lovely voice in the blackness.
You do know,
Ianthe tittered from outside the cottage, her steps slowing into a walk.
That we'll have to kill whoever is inside there with you. Selfish of you, Farah.
I panted, holding the door open, making sure they couldn't see me on the other side.
You have seen my twin,
the weaver hissed softly with a hint of wonder.
I smell him on you.
Outside, Ianthe and the guard grew closer, closer and closer. Somewhere deep in the room, I felt her move, felt her stand, and take a step toward me.
What are you?
The weaver breathed.
Thera, you can be quite tedious, Ianthe said.
Right outside, I could barely make out her pale robes through the crack between the door and threshold.
Do you think you can ambush us in there? I saw your shield. You're drained. And I don't think your glowing trick will help.
The weaver took another step toward me in the gloom.
Who did you bring, little wolf? Who did you bring to me?
Ianthe and her two guards stepped over the threshold. Then another step. Past the open door. They didn't see me in the shadows behind it. Dinner, I said to the weaver, whirling around the door, to its outside face, and let go of the handle. Just as the door slammed shut, hard enough to rattle the cottage, locking me outside, I saw the ball of phalite that Ianthe lifted to illuminate the room. Saw the horrible face of the weaver, that mouth of stumped teeth opening wide with delight and unholy hunger. A death god of old, starved for life, with a beautiful priestess before her. I was already hurtling for the trees when the guards and Ianthe began screaming. Their unending screams followed me for half a mile. By the time I reached the spot where I'd seen the Suriel fall, they'd faded. Sprawled out, the Suriel's bony chest heaved unevenly, its breaths few and far between. Dying. I slid to my knees before it, sinking into the bloody moss. Let me help you. I can heal you. I'd do it the same way I'd helped Rhysand. Remove those arrows, and offer it my blood. I reached for the first one, but a dry, bony hand settled on my wrist.
Your magic, it rasped, is spent. Do not waste it.
I can save you. It only gripped my wrist.
I am already gone.
What can I do? The words turned thin, brittle.
Stay, it breathed. Stay. Until the end.
I took its hand in mine. I'm sorry, was all I could think to say. I had done this. I had brought it here.
I knew,
it gasped, sensing my shift in thoughts.
The tracking. I knew of it.
Then why come at all?
You were kind. You fought your fear. You were kind,
it said again. I began crying. And you were kind to me, I said, not brushing away the tears that fell onto its bloodied, tattered robe. Thank you for helping me when no one else would. A small smile on that lipless mouth.
Thera Archeron.
A labored breath.
I told you to stay with the High Lord, and you did.
It's warning to me that first time we'd met. You meant Rhys. All this time.
Stay with him. And live to see everything righted.
Yes, I did. And it was.
No, not yet. Stay with him.
I will. I always would. Its chest rose, then fell. I don't even know your name, I whispered. The Suriel. It was a title, a name for its kind. That small smile again.
does it matter, Cursebreaker?
Yes. Its eyes dimmed, but it did not tell me. It only said,
You should go now. Worse things are coming. The blood draws them.
I squeezed its bony hand, the leathery skin growing colder. I can stay a while longer. I had killed enough animals to know when a body neared death. Soon now, it would be a matter of breaths.
Thera Archeron,
the serial said again, gazing at the leafy canopy, the sky peeking through it. A painful inhale.
A request.
I leaned close. Anything. Another rattling breath.
Leave this world a better place than how you found it.
And as its chest rose and stopped altogether, as its breath escaped in one last sigh, I understood why the serial had come to help me, again and again. Not just for kindness, but because it was a dreamer. And it was the heart of a dreamer that had ceased beating inside that monstrous chest. Its sudden silence echoed into my own. I laid my head on its chest, on that now silent vault of bone, and wept. I wept and wept until there was a strong hand at my shoulder. I didn't know the scent, the feel of the hand, but I knew the voice as Helion said softly to me, Come, Thera. It is not safe here. Come. I lifted my head. Helion was there, features grim, his brown skin ashen.
I can't leave it here like this, I said, refusing to let go of its hand. I didn't care how Helion had found me, why he'd found me.
He looked to the fallen creature, mouth tightening.
I'll take care of it.
Burn it, with the power of the sun. I let him help me to my feet, let him extend a hand toward that body.
Wait.
Helion obeyed. Give me your cloak, please. Brows narrowing, Helion unfastened the rich crimson cloak pinned at each shoulder. I didn't bother to explain, as I covered the Suriel's body with the fine fabric. Far finer than the hateful rags Ianthe had given it. I tucked the High Lord's cloak gently around its broad shoulders, its bony arms.
Thank you,
I said, one last time to the Suriel, and stepped away. Helion's flame was a pure, blinding white. It burned the Suriel into ashes within a heartbeat. Come, Helion said again, extending a hand. Let's get you to the camp. It was the kindness in his voice that cracked my chest, but I took Helion's hand. As warm light whisked us away, I could have sworn that the pile of ashes was stirred by a phantom wind. Chapter 61 Helion winnowed me into the camp, right into Rhys's war tent. My mate was pale. Blood splattered and filthy, from his skin to his armor to his hair. I opened my mouth, to ask how the battle had gone, to say what had happened, I don't know. But Rhys just reached for me, folding me into his chest. And at the smell and warmth and solidity of him, I began weeping again. I didn't know who was in the tent, who had survived the battle. But they all left. Left, while my mate held me, rocking me gently, as I cried and cried. He only told me what had happened when my tears had quieted, when he'd washed the Suriel's black blood from my hands
my face. I was out of the tent a heartbeat later, charging through the mud, dodging exhausted and weary soldiers. Reese was a step behind me, but said nothing as I shoved through the flaps of another tent and took stock of what and who was before me. Moore and Asriel were standing before the cot, monitoring every move the healer sitting beside it made, as she held her glowing hands over Cassian. I understood then, the quiet Cassian had once mentioned to me. It was now in my head, as I looked at his muddy, pained face, pained even in unconsciousness, as I heard his labored, wet breathing. As I beheld the slice curving up from his navel to the bottom of his sternum, the split flesh, the blood, mostly just a trickle. I swayed, only for Reese to grip me beneath the elbows. The healer didn't turn to look at me as her brow bunched in concentration, hands flaring with white light. Beneath them, slowly the lips of the wound reached toward each other. If it was this bad now... How? I rasped. Reese had told me three things a moment ago. We'd won, barely. Tarquin had again decided what to do with any survivors, and Cassian had been gravely injured. Where were you? Was all Moore said to me. She was soaked, bloody, and coated in mud. Asriel was too. No sign of injuries beyond minor cuts, mercifully. I shook my head. I'd let Reese into my mind while he held me. Showed him everything. Explained Ianthe, and the Surreal, and the Weaver. What it had told me. Reese's eyes had gone distant for a moment, and I knew Amryn was on her way, the book in tow, to help Nesta track that cauldron. Or try to. He could explain to Moore. He'd only known I was gone after the battle stopped, when he realized Moore had been fighting, and that I was not at the camp anymore. He'd just reached Elaine's tent when Helion sent word he'd found me, using whatever gift he possessed that allowed him to sense such things, and was bringing me back. Vague, brief details. Is he going to... I couldn't finish the rest. Words had become as foreign and hard to reach as the stars.
No, the healer said without looking at me. He'll be sore for a few days, though.
Indeed. She'd gotten either side of the wound to touch, to now start weaving together. Bile surged up my throat at the sight of that raw flesh. How? I asked again. He wouldn't wait for us, Moore said flatly. He kept charging, trying to reform the line. One of their commanders engaged him. He wouldn't turn away. By the time Az got down there, he was down. Asriel's face was stone cold, even as his hazel eyes fixed unrelenting upon that knitting wound. Moore said again, Where did you go? If you're about to fight... the healer said sharply. Take it outside. My patient doesn't need to hear this. None of us moved. Reese brushed a hand down my arm. You are, as always, free to go wherever and whenever you wish. But what I think Moore is saying is, try to leave a note the next time. The words were casual, but that was panic in his eyes. Not the controlling fear Tamlin had once succumbed to, but genuine terror of not knowing where I was, if I needed help. Just as I would want to know where he was, if he needed help, if he vanished when our enemies surrounded us. I'm sorry, I said. To him, to the others. Moore didn't so much as look at me.
You have nothing to be sorry for,
Reese replied, hand sliding to cut my cheek.
You decided to take things into your own hands, and got us valuable information in the process. But,
his thumb stroked over my cheekbone.
We've been lucky,
he breathed.
Keeping a step ahead. Keeping out of Highburn's claws. Even if today... Today wasn't so fortunate on the battlefield. But the cynic in me wonders if our luck is about to expire. And I would rather it not end with you.
They all had to think me young and reckless.
No,
Rhys said through the bond, and I realize I'd left my shields open.
Believe me, if you knew half the shit Cassian and Mor have pulled, you'd get why we don't.
I just... leave a note.
Or tell me the next time.
Would you have let me go if I had?
I do not let you do anything.
He tilted my face up, Mor and Azriel looking away.
You are your own person. You make your own choices.
But we are mates. I am yours, and you are mine.
We do not let each other do things, as if we dictate the movements of each other.
But
I might have insisted I go with you. More for my own mental well-being. Just to know you were safe.
You were occupied. A slash of a smile.
If you were hell-bent on going into the middle...
I would have unoccupied myself from battle. I waited for him to chide me about not waiting until they were done, about all of it. But he angled his head.
I wonder if the Weaver forgives you now, he mused aloud. Even the healer seemed to start at the name, the words. A shiver ran down my spine.
I don't want to know. Rhys let out a low laugh.
Then let's never find out. But the amusement faded as he again surveyed Cassian. The wound was now sealed over. The surreal wasn't your fault.
I loosed a breath as Cassian's eyelids began to shift and flutter. I know. I'd already added its death to my ever-growing list of things I'd soon make Highburn pay for. Long minutes passed, and we stood in silence. I didn't ask where Nesta was. Mor barely acknowledged me. And Rhys. He perched on the foot of the cot as Cassian's eyes at last opened, and the general let out a low groan of pain.
That's what you get,
the healer chided, gathering her supplies. For stepping in front of a sword. She frowned at him.
Rest tonight and tomorrow. I know better than to insist on a third day after that, but try not to leap in front of blades any time soon.
Cassian just blinked rather dazedly at her, before she bowed to Rhys and me, and left.
How bad?
He asked, the voice hoarse.
How bad was your injury?
Rhys said mildly.
Or how badly did we have our asses kicked?
Cassian blinked again, slowly, as if whatever sedative he'd been given still held sway.
To answer the second question,
Rhys went on, Mor and Azriel backing away a step or two as something sharpened in my mate's voice.
We managed. Kier took heavy hits, but we won. Barely. To answer your first...
Rhys spared his teeth.
Don't you ever pull that kind of shit again.
The glaze wore off Cassian's eyes as he heard the challenge, the anger, and tried to sit up.
He hissed, scowling down at the red angry slice down his chest. Your guts were hanging out, you stupid prick,
Rhys snapped.
Az held them in for you.
Indeed, the Shadow Singer's hands were caked in blood. Cassian's blood, and his face, cold with anger.
I'm a soldier,
Cassian said flatly.
It's part of the job. I gave you an order to wait,
Rhys growled.
You ignored it.
I glanced to Mor, to Azriel, a silent question of whether we should remain. They were too busy watching Rhys and Cassian to notice.
The line was breaking,
Cassian retorted.
Your order was bullshit. Rhys braced his hands on either side of Cassian's legs and snarled in his face. I am your High Lord. You don't get to disregard orders you don't like. Cassian sat up this time, swearing at the pain lingering in his body. Don't you pull rank because you're pissed off. You and your damned theatrics on the battlefield nearly got you killed.
And even as Rhys spat the words, that was panic, again in his eyes. His voice.
I'm not pissed. I'm furious. So you're allowed to be mad about our choices to protect you. And we're not allowed to be furious with you for your self-sacrificing bullshit.
Rhys just stared at him. Cassian stared right back.
You could have died,
was all Rhys said, his voice raw.
So could you.
Another beat of silence, and in its wake, the anger shifted. Rhys said quietly,
Even after Highburn, I can't stomach it.
Seeing him hurt. Any of us hurt. And the way Rhys spoke, the way Cassian leaned forward, wincing again, and gripped Rhys's shoulder. I strode out of the tent, left them to talk. Asriel and Moore followed behind me. I squinted at the watery light, the very last before true dark. When my vision adjusted, Nesta stood by the nearest tent, a water bucket between her feet, her hair a still damp mess atop her mud-flecked head, watching us emerge, grim-faced. He's fine, healed and awake, I said quickly. Nesta's shoulder sagged a bit. She'd saved me the trouble of hunting her down to ask her about tracking the cauldron. Better to do it now with some privacy, especially before Amryn arrived. But Moore said coldly, Shouldn't you be refilling that bucket? Nesta went stiff, sized up Moore, but Moore didn't flinch from that look. After a moment, Nesta picked up her bucket, mud caked up to her shins, and continued on, steps squelching. I turned, finding Asriel striding for the commander's tent, but Moore. Livid. She was absolutely livid as she faced me. She didn't bother to tell anyone that you left. Hence the anger. Nesta is many things, but she's certainly loyal. Moore didn't smile, not as she said, You lied. She stormed for her own tent, and with that comment, I had no choice but to follow her in. The space was mostly occupied with her bed and a small desk littered with weapons and maps. I didn't lie, I said, wincing. I just didn't tell you what I planned to do. She gaped at me. You nudged me to leave you, insisting you would be safe at the camp. I'm sorry, I said. Sorry? Sorry? She splayed her arms. Bits of mud flew off. I didn't know what to do with my own, how to even look at her in the eye. I'd seen her mad before, but never mad at me. I'd never had a friend to quarrel with, who cared enough. I know everything you're about to say. Every excuse for why I couldn't go with you, Moore snapped. But none of it excuses you for lying to me. If you'd explained, I would have let you go. If you'd trusted me, I would have let you go. Or maybe talked you out of an idiotic idea that nearly got you killed. They are hunting for you. They want to get their hands on you and use you. Hurt you. You've only seen a taste of what Highburn can do, what they delight in. And to break you to his will, the king will do anything. I didn't know what to say to her other than, We needed this information. Of course we did. But do you know what it felt like? To look Rhys in the eye and tell him, I had no idea where you were. To realize for myself that you had vanished and likely duped me into enabling it? She scrubbed at her filthy face, smearing the mud and gore further,
I thought you were smarter than that. Better than that sort of thing.
The words sent a line of fire searing across my vision, down my spine.
I'm not going to listen to this.
I turned to leave, but Moore was already there, gripping my arm.
Oh, yes, you are. Rhys might be all smiles and forgiveness, but you still have us to answer to. You are my high lady. Do you understand what it means when you imply you don't trust us to help you? To respect your wishes if you want to do something alone? When you lie to us? You want to talk about lying?
I didn't even know what came out of my mouth. I wished I'd killed Ianthe myself, if only to get rid of that rage that writhed along my bones.
How about the fact that you lie to yourself and all of us every single day?
She went still, but didn't loosen her hold on my arm.
You don't know what you're talking about. Why haven't you ever made a move for Azrael Moore? Why did you invite Healy into your bed? You clearly found no pleasure in it. I saw the way you looked the next day. So before you accuse me of being a liar, I suggest you look long and hard at yourself. That's enough. Is it? Don't like someone pushing you about it? About your choices? Well, neither do I.
Moore dropped my arm.
Get out. Fine.
I didn't look back as I left. I wondered if she could hear my thunderous heartbeat with every storming step I took through the muddy camp. Amryn found me within 20 steps, a wrapped bundle in her arms. Every time you lot leave me at home, someone manages to get gutted. Chapter 62. I couldn't bring myself to smile at Amryn. I could barely keep my chin high. She peered behind me, as if she could see the path I'd taken from Moore's tent, smell the fight on me. Be careful, Amryn warned as I fell into step beside her, heading for our tent again, of how you push her. There are some truths that even Morrigan has not herself faced. The hot anger was swiftly slipping into something cold and queasy and heavy. We all fight from time to time, girl, Amryn said. Both of you should cool your heels. Talk tomorrow. Fine. Amryn shot me a sharp look, her hair swinging with the motion, but we'd reached my tent. Rhys and Azrael were holding Cassian between them as they gently set him into a chair at the paper-strewn desk. The general's face was still grayish, but someone had found a shirt for him and washed off the blood. From the way Cassian sagged in that seat, he must have insisted he come. And from the way Rhys lightly mussed his hair as he strode to the other side of the desk, that wound, too, had been patched up. Rhys lifted a brow as I entered, still stomping a bit. I shook my head. I'll tell you later. A caress of claws down my innermost barrier. A comforting touch. Amryn laid the book onto the desk with a thud that echoed in the earth beneath our feet. The second and penultimate pages, I said, trying not to flinch at the power of the book slithering through the tent. The Suriel claimed the key you are looking for is there, to nullify the cauldron's power. I assumed Rhys had told Amryn what had occurred, and assumed that she'd told someone to fetch Nesta, since she pushed through the heavy flaps a moment later.
Did you bring them?
Rhys asked Amryn, as Nesta silently approached the table. Still coated in mud up to her shins, my sister paused on the other side, away from where Cassian now sat. Looked him over. Her face revealed nothing, yet her hands. I could have sworn a faint tremor rippled through her fingers before she balled them into fists and faced Amryn. Cassian watched her for a moment longer before turning his head toward Amryn as well. How long had Nesta stood atop that hill, watching the battle? Had she seen him fall? Amryn reached into the pocket of her pewter cloak and chucked a black velvet bag onto the desk. It clacked and thunked as it hit the wood. Bones and stones. Nesta only angled her head at the side of the bag.
Your sister came immediately when I explained what we needed,
Rhys said.
I think seeing Cassian hurt convinced her not to pick a fight today.
Or convinced my sister to pick a fight with someone else entirely.
Nestor lifted the bag.
So, I scatter these like some backstreet charlatan, and it'll find the cauldron?
Amarin let out a low laugh.
Something like that.
Arcs of mud lay beneath Nesta's nails. She didn't seem to notice as she untied the small pouch and dumped out its contents. 3 stones, 4 bones. The latter were brown and gleamed with age. The former were white as the moon and smooth as glass, each marked with a thin, reedy letter I didn't recognize.
3 stones for the faces of the mother, Amarin said upon seeing Nesta's raised brows.
4 bones? For whatever reason the charlatans came up with that I can't be bothered to remember.
Nesta snorted. Rhys echoed the sentiment.
My sister said,
So, what? I just shake them around in my hands and chuck them? How am I to make sense of any of it?
We can figure it out,
Cassian said, his voice rough and weary.
But start with holding them in your hands and thinking about the cauldron.
Don't just think about it, Amarin corrected. You must cast your mind toward it. Find the bond that links you.
Even I paused at that. And Nesta, stones and bones now in hand. She made no move to close her eyes.
Am I to touch it?
No, Amarin warned. Just come close. Find it, but do not interact.
Nesta still didn't move. She couldn't use the bathtub, she told me, because the memories it dragged up.
Cassian said to her,
Nothing can harm you here.
He sucked in a breath, groaning softly, and rose to his feet.
Asriel tried to stop him, but Cassian brushed him off and strode for my sister's side.
He braced a hand on the desk when he at last stopped.
Nothing can harm you, he repeated.
Nesta was still looking at him when she finally shut her eyes. I shifted, and the angle allowed me to see what I hadn't detected before.
Nesta stood before the map, a fist of bones and stones clenched over it. Cassian remained at her side, his other hand on her lower back. And I marveled at the touch she allowed. Marveled at it, as much as I did the mud-splattered hand she held out, the concentration that settled over her face. Her eyes shifted beneath their lids as if scanning the world.
I don't see anything.
Go deeper, Amarin urged. Find that tether between you.
She stiffened, but Cassian stepped closer, and she settled again. A minute went by. Then another. A muscle twitched on Nesta's brow. Her hand bobbed. Her breath then came fast and hard, her lips curling back as she panted through her teeth.
Nesta,
Cassian warned.
Quiet,
Amarin snapped. A small noise came out of her, one of terror.
Where is it, girl? Amarin coaxed. Open your hand. Let us see.
Nesta's fingers only clutched tighter, the whites of her knuckles as stark as the stones held within them.
Too deep. Whatever she had done.
I lunged for her. Not physically, but with my mind. If Elaine's mental gates were those of a sleeping garden, Nesta's. They belonged to an ancient fortress, sharp and brutal. The sort I imagined they once impaled people upon. But they were wide open. And inside, dark. Dark like I had never known. Even with Rhysand.
Nesta.
I took a step into her mind,
The images slammed into me. One after one after one, I saw them. The army that stretched into the horizon. The weapons, the hate, the sheer size. I saw the king standing over a map in a war tent, flanked by Jurian and several commanders, the cauldron squatting in the center of the room behind them. And there was Nesta, standing in that tent, watching the king, the cauldron, frozen in place, with undiluted fear. Nesta! She didn't seem to hear me as she stared at them. I reached for her hand. You found it. I see where it is. Nesta's face was bloodless, but she at last dragged her attention to me. Feyre! Surprise lit her terror-wide eyes. Let's go back, I said. She nodded and we turned, but we felt it. We both did. Not the king or the commanders plotting with him. Not Jurian, as he played his deadly game of deception. But the cauldron. As if some great sleeping beast opened an eye. The cauldron seemed to sense us watching. Sense us there. I felt it stir, like it would lunge for Nesta. I grabbed my sister and ran. Open your fist! I ordered her as we sprinted for the iron gates to her mind. Open it now! She only panted, and that monstrous force swelled behind us, a black wave rising up. Open it now, or it will get in here! Open it now, Nesta! I heard the words as I threw myself out of her mind. Heard them, because I'd been shouting in that tent. With a gasp, Nesta's fingers splayed wide, scattering stones and bones over the map. Cassian caught her with an arm around the waist as she swayed. He hissed in pain at the movement.
What the hell?
Look, Amryn breathed. There was no throw that could have done it, save for one blessed by magic. The stones and bones formed a perfect, tight circle around a spot on the map. Nesta and I went pale. I had seen the size of that army. We both had. While Hybern had been driving us northward, letting us chase them in these two battles, the king had amassed his host along the western edge of the human territory, perhaps no more than 100 miles from our family's estate. Rhys called in Tarquin and Helion to show them what he'd discovered. Too few. We had too few soldiers, even with 3 armies here, to take on that host. I'd shown Rhysand what I'd seen, and he'd shown it to the others.
Kalias will arrive soon,
Helion said, dragging his hands through his onyx hair.
He'd have to bring 40,000 soldiers, Cassian said. I doubt he has half that.
Rhys was staring and staring at the cluster of stones and bones on the map. I could feel the wrath rippling off him. Not just at Hybern, but himself, for not thinking Hybern might be deliberately toying with us, positioning us here. We'd won the high ground these 2 battles. Hybern had won the high ground in this war. He knew what waited in the middle. And Hybern had now forced us to gather here, in this spot, so that he and his behemoth army could drive us northward. A clean sweep from the south, eventually pushing us into the middle or forcing us to break apart to avoid the lethal tangle of trees and denizens. And if we took the battle to them, we might court death. None of us were foolish enough to risk building any plans around Jurian, regardless of where his true allegiance lay. Our best chance was in buying time for other allies to arrive. Kalias, Thesen. Tamlin had chosen who to back in this war, and even if he'd picked Prithian, he would have been left with the problem of mustering a Spring Court force after I'd destroyed their faith in him. And Miriam and Draken?
Not enough time,
Rhys said to me.
To hunt for them, find them, and bring back their army? We could return to find Hybern has wiped our own off the map.
that there was the Carver. If I dared risk retrieving his prize. I didn't mention